All right, Isaiah chapter 10 in your Bibles, verse 1. Woe unto them, Isaiah 10:1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the people of, or the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. What God is doing thus far is he's rebuking a nation that used to walk before him, rebuking a people that used to follow his precepts. After woeing unto them in verse 1 and 2, he says in verse 3, and what will ye do in the day of visitation? Would you agree with this thought? Good or bad, God will visit my life sometime, somewhere. Would you agree with that? God will visit my actions. God will visit my conduct, and God will visit my heart. What will ye do, he says to these people, in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will ye flee for your help? And this simple phrase is actually our text. And where will ye leave your glory? Where will ye leave your glory? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless the reading of your word. Lord, this thought, Lord, when I read some time ago, and I came by this and I saw it, and Lord, it's not the first time. I'm reminded of this every time. Where am I going to leave my glory? So, Father, I pray that you would bless today. I pray that you would use me. Lord, not for my glory, certainly, but for the benefit of the saints and for the glory of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, deal with their heart, I pray. Although I'm speaking mainly to those that have been saved, Lord, you have a way of something that's said, some kind of word, some kind of phrase, some kind of verse to drive it home in the hearts of the lost. And I'd pray also those that claim to know you, we claim to have been saved, born again. Speak to our hearts, I pray today, Lord, and we'll be thankful. I think we will. I think we'll all be thankful, because the worst thing would be to come here and have your word open and preached and not be affected at all. And so, Lord, may that not be the case with anyone here in this room today, I pray. And it's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. The Bible says, and where will ye leave your glory? When I say the name O.J. Simpson, what you think of is you think the murderer of Nicole Simpson and Ronald Goldman. But O.J. Simpson had an illustrious career in the NFL. In 1973, he was NFL MVP. The same year, he was NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Five-time first-team All-Pro from 72 to 76. Five-time Pro Bowl, 72 to 76. Associated Press in 73 gave him the award of Athlete of the Year. He was a four-time NFL rushing yards leader in 72, 73, 75, and 76. Two-time NFL rushing touchdown leader in 73 and 75. In 68, he was the Heisman Trophy winner that year in college. He's on the Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame. But rather than glorying over that, enjoying that spot, it is the target of many that have sought for years to get him removed from it. A man whose life was filled with glory, and he left that glory on a sidewalk in 1984 in an LA suburb. To me, it's a classic illustration of where, here's a man that would have been set for life, and yet he took all the glory that he had built up, and in a moment of rage, in a moment of anger, he left his glory on the sidewalk in L.A. Chapter 10 of Isaiah is a continued rebuke from the Lord. He's rebuking them from turning away from him. He asked them in verse 3, what are you going to do in that visitation, or in the day of visitation? Then at the end of that verse 3, he says, and where will you leave your glory? Well, they had glory. They had glory. I don't know if you remember this or not, I'm sure you do, but the nation of Israel was a glorious nation. No, kids, if you went to public school, you didn't hear about it. Because Israel, the Bible says, will not be reckoned amongst the nations. And so it's not a surprise that any great thing that Israel does, people ignore it. And they ignore the glory of Solomon's era. But in Solomon's day, Israel was the envy of the world. It's just like today, America, as many flaws and as many problems we have, we're still the envy of the world. The world looks at the glory of America, the extraordinary, it's extraordinary in its existence, and they look at it and say, you know what, I want to be there. I'd like to be that. The same thing was in the case with Israel. You remember the story of Solomon, how he built the temple, or the kingdom of Israel to be so illustrious, to be so glorious that the gold or silver wasn't even to be something desired. We go down every once in a while when the grandkids come here, we'll take them down to Little Miami. There's a spot we'll get down there and pick rocks up and just skip rocks in Little Miami. We don't think a thing about those rocks that skip in. We're not concerned we lost them. They just go and sink to the bottom of the river to be redistributed by the current someday. Well, he made silver to be like that. Throw it away. Who cares? It's just silver. So glorious was the glory of that kingdom that one day the Queen of Sheba said, I've heard about it. I've got to see if all the stories are real. And so she takes her caravan and she makes that long trek up to Jerusalem. She meets with Solomon to see if he's as wise as what they say he was. He leads her around and shows her all the glory of the kingdom. And after hearing of his wisdom, and after hearing his wisdom and seeing all the glory, she said, you know, she said, I heard enough to be so intrigued if it was true that I made this long journey. But now that I've listened to you and I've seen it, I have to tell you the half wasn't told. Israel had a glory. And you know what? We have glory too. We do. I don't know if you ever thought about things the Bible says we ought to glory in, but there's things we ought to glory in. Amen. We ought to glory, if you would. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All right, so we have glory. Our glory is in the Lord. But Proverbs 17 says, and the glory of children are their fathers. Now, I don't know what kind of father you had. I have no idea, but I know this. The Bible says that a father ought to conduct themselves in such a way to where it's easy for their children to glory in them. I have a son here today. Ever since, I forget how many years ago, he was just a little thing. And he'd say, Dad, you and I are twins. We're twins. He has a beard on his face because I have a beard on my face. For a time, he ate White Castles because I ate White Castles. I could easily say this. He looks to me and he wants to be like me. And the Bible says that a child looks at dad, and that daughter glories in dad differently than that boy glories in dad, but I have to tell you, they both glory in dad. You know, I thought about that and I thought how sad it is that in our day and age, there's children and they're just angry at their father. He who should be a glory, the child should look and say, that's my dad. And all they have is anger and bitterness. You say, why? Because we as fathers have failed. Say amen right there. We failed. But the Bible does say, as a child has a glory, where will you leave your glory? I thought about that. And the question isn't to children, where will you leave your glory? Your glory is your father's. My question is to fathers, where am I going to leave their glory? My children glory in me. Where am I going to leave that? It's a sobering thought. In Job 19, Job spoke of his glory, which he lost. You know what Job's glory was? Job was of reputation. When Job spoke, people listened. People grew silent when Job walked by. He said, I've lost all of that. Job had a glory. It was kind of like the Old Testament glory of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, and though I should desire to glory because of the abundance of revelation. Did you realize? You ever heard anybody say this? Well, they just think they have all the answers. Paul did. When it came to the church age, Paul had the information nobody else had. He said, it was given to me. You can understand that work on a guy. Why? Because you have a problem? Ask Paul. You wonder about something? Ask Paul. And Paul said, though I should desire to glory. Now, come on. We like to glory in what we know. We like to glory in what we've done. I forget who it was. There was a gathering, and a gathering over at Preston and Lindsay's. And I forget the gathering, actually. And I forget who it was, but there was someone. And I built the crib for them, for little Evie. Late, howbeit, I did build it. I was kind of concerned that she was going to be in high school by the time I got it done. But after about a year of her life, I got the crib done. And the crib has got some of the walnut from my dad's shop. And it's got, I built it out of ash that I took from a tree that came out of our yard. And it's got the sides that drop and come back up and so on like that. And I have to tell you, I was there and I forget where it was, but I looked at Lindsay or Preston one. I said, can I take him up and show him the crib? Now, you know what I was doing, don't you? I was glorying in it. And I know you guys are looking to say, well, preacher, you shouldn't do that. I tell you what, you build a crib and show me how not to. How's that, okay? Good night. I just feel like I did a pretty good job, better job than I expected to do. I built a crib. I've got pictures. I got pictures of my, look at the crib I built. I built a crib for Justin and Miranda and their babies. I had three grandbabies go through the crib I built. Now, that was the first crib I built. When I built it and they took it home and they put little Bellamy in it, I said, oh, Lord, let her live. That's why I'm thinking, I built the thing. I'm scared to death. And after about two of them, I thought, okay, it's pretty safe, I guess. And now they're thinking, what did you think about the crib you built for us? You know, that's glory. We glory in that thing. We have glory. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily all good, but the fact is if you've done a good job, if you've succeeded at something, if you're known for this, that becomes a reputation. And that becomes a valuable thing because the Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than much riches. That good name, where are you going to leave that? That glory, everybody thinks this about you. Oh, how many times have we heard about the pastors or church leaders or church workers that through some poor discretion and poor action in their life took everything they had built up in reputation and absolutely destroyed it? Did it ever occur to you they left their glory somewhere? They did. Oh, here's one, guys. 1 Corinthians 11:7. Says the glory of man is woman. That's right, it is. Nothing wrong with that. When my wife and I go out, I like to go out with her. I like people to see me with her. She's my glory. She is. I mean, we go out and said, she's with me. Amen. I remember we first met. Guys, don't get, that would be a great place for you guys, your husbands, to say amen right there now. You guys aren't real sharp, are you? Okay. I teed it up and you missed the drive. That's what you did. All right. Amen. Yeah. We glory in lesser things too. We glory in our looks. We glory in our possessions. We glory in our status before men. But there's no glory like the glory that the Lord has placed on our lives by what he's done for us. Can I say that again? There is no glory in my life like the glory that the Lord has placed on my life because of what he's done for us, and can I say this, and done in us. I told you the story, didn't used to have that. We used to have a little Baldwin or Hamilton upright piano sit over here when I first came here, and I would come over and I'd sit down, I'd play the piano and so on. Let's just say in high school, I wasn't the best individual, okay? I wasn't studious, and I acted up, and I was a class clown, and let's just say that in high school, if I had been voted most likely to, it would not have been to succeed, okay? And I'm over here playing the piano. And a Miami Town police officer walks in and says, hi, are you Joel Greer? Now, that's a question to meditate upon right there, okay? And so are you Joel Greer? And I said, yes. He said, hi, my name is so-and-so. And I said, okay. He said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, the name rings a bell. You went to school with her over in Finneytown. I said, oh, yeah. He said, I married her. He said, we live in Fairfield. I work up here in Miami Township as an officer. I was driving by. We had the old sign back then. It had my name in like boat letters, you know, they reflect light, you know. And said, so we were driving by and she saw your name, Joel Greer Pastor. And her first statement was, no way. I'm not kidding. I was just glad that I wasn't getting arrested. That's all I was glad for. He could have said anything, right? And when they pulled away, and I said, yeah, it's true. And I shortly told him my story. And as he pulled away, I thought, God, thank you. Thank you that I'm not what I used to be. I've told you before, when I came here and when I was a kid here, I wasn't a good kid and I wasn't a good teenager at all. And after I got right with the Lord and I began to read my Bible, I really got sad. And I got sad because I began to think of all the times that my mom and dad would sit here, and if someone saw me and they saw me in a certain place or a certain way or doing whatever, they would say, yeah, that's Lacey and Elva Greer's son. They've done a terrible job with him. Well, I'm not saying that they said that. I'm saying that I could understand someone saying that. And all I did was I just laid reproach upon them and laid reproach upon them. And it wasn't until I got right with God that I felt bad about it and sorrowful about it. And then one day, and I think I've told you this, we lived over in the parsonage and Dad came by, and Dad was not much of a hug guy and not much of a motion guy. He got ready to leave, and I said, okay, we were in the kitchen. It's kind of like a glorified hallway there, and he's going to go out the back door. And I said, well, Dad, I'll see you later. And he said, come here. And he almost seemed awkward at it. And he put his arms around me real big and hugged me. He said, I'm proud of you, son. And ever since I thought about all of the disgrace I put on them, I thought, God, thank you. It wasn't me. It was him. Thank you that I've lived long enough, and thank you for the work you've done in my life. It's no longer, oh yeah, that's Lacey and Elva Greer's son. It's, yeah, that's the son of Lacey and Elva Greer. My, they did a fine job on him. Where? Do you realize that's glory I carry? Oh, none glory for me, but glory that God has put upon me. Glory that God has done with me. Glory that God has worked. I used to be this and now I'm this. I'm careful to give him the praise for it, but nevertheless, thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's the greatest glory we have. And the question is this to every Christian here this morning. If you understand what I'm talking about, if you understand all that introduction of this message, can I ask you, where will you leave your glory? So you can get an idea of this, an idea of where I'm going with this. Can I tell you where we should be leaving it? Someday, we're going to stand before him. We stand before him. And we're going to have our works tried, and it's going to burn up, and some are going to be left. Whatever's left, we're going to receive rewards in the form of crowns. If I understand my Bible right, we're going to take those crowns as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and we're going to cast them back at his feet. You know I'm casting back at his feet? My glory. That's where I want to leave it. I want to leave it at the throne of Jesus Christ. Would you not agree, though, there's a lot of Christians and they left their glory long before then? It's a fair question. He's looking at a nation that used to be, I mean, everybody said, boy, Israel's where, listen, if you're not like Israel, I know you have a nice kingdom, but you're not like Israel. It was the glory of the world. And God asked that little nation a question, a sobering question, where are you going to leave your glory? I'd like to give you some answers to that in just a second. Before I do, can I please just give you some thoughts this morning? Whether we like it or not, there are decisions that take years to overcome, and their decisions that remain with us for the rest of our lives. Some will leave their glory in a relationship that began with a glance over a balcony. Some will leave their glory on the World Wide Web at a page or that no moral human being should be looking at. Some will leave their glory in a bottle of booze and some with a bottle of pills. Many will leave their glory with a group of friends. I look to every young person here today, and can I please tell you something? Would you not sacrifice your glory at the altar of friendship? Would you be careful not to take that which God said, that's your glory? Remember what he says over in Romans? He said they dishonored themselves among themselves. Most will leave their glory in a life lived for self and not for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to leave it somewhere. But can I tell you where you're going to leave it? Some will leave it where you quit or where you stalled. Some will leave it where you quit or where you stalled. I don't know your story. You know mine probably better than I know yours on a personal level. But I will tell you this. It is not a rare thing in Christianity in America today to hear someone that trusted Christ as their Savior. They followed in baptism. They got in church. And since then, they've just not done anything. And many of them are out. Many are no longer in church, away. They've dropped off the map. They've stalled. They've quit, whatever. And that's where you left your glory. That's as far as I'm going. Demas left his glory because he loved this present world. But up until then, he was a brag, if you would, the Apostle Paul. Demas says hello to you guys. Demas salutes you. Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul, but because of the desires of this life, he left that glory. He left that reputation as someone that just quit on God because of what we could get here. That's where he left his glory. Got a couple of stories. August 2018, a woman's 5,000-meter race in the European Athletic Championship in Berlin finished in a chaotic fashion for an Israeli competitor. It was a race that will long be remembered, not because of how she won, but rather how it was lost. The stunning defeat for the world champion runner, Kenyan-born Lona Salpeter, is a powerful reminder of the damage of keeping your eyes upon the race. Salpeter, who had successfully claimed the gold in the 10,000-meter race earlier in the program, seemed on the way to another notable victory. Neck and neck with the Netherlands runner, with a lap to go, she appeared assured of at least a silver, if not a gold this time round, until the shocking moment happened. Salpeter slowed down before the final bell lap, mistakenly assuming the race was over. She pulled across the lanes to prematurely celebrate her medal. Spectators gasped in horror. Commentators couldn't believe what they saw. The other runners were stunned. Lona realized her error too late and desperately tried to rejoin the race, but alas, it was too late. She came in fourth place and received no medal at all. And that which would have been her glory, she left. She left with one lap to go. That's the story of 20 and 21st century Christianity in America. I just talked to a fellow yesterday. We were chatting, we were talking about the, what else? COVID-19. The pandemic. You know the greatest tragedy of the pandemic is? I need to say this, the spiritual tragedy, because it's a tragedy that people died, and multitudes of people died, and I understand that, and I'm not minimizing that at all. But when it comes to Christianity, you know what the tragedy is? The tragedy is people left and they've never come back. That's the tragedy. We just get used to sitting at home. And across the board, I talk to pastors, attendance down, attendance is down. Offerings are down. There are churches, it was an evangelist. I spoke to him. Matter of fact, how many know Billy Richburg? I spoke to Billy Richburg last night on the phone. He said, brother, he said, I go to churches, they're struggling. And I found myself saying, God, thank you that we're not struggling. Thank you that we're doing okay. Thank you that people can come back. And I don't know all the reasons why, but I know this. I know that some people that have spent years, you know what the greatest number? Well, the millennials, they're not the greatest number. The greatest number are the baby boomers. The greatest number that did not return statistically are the baby boomers. People like me. People like some of you, people that have been at it for a long, long time. And I find myself saying, why? Because they decided that finishing strong, just there were other things more important to them. Other things more important. Oh, there's another story, though. When you look at the story I just told you, and it's such an illustration of those that will leave their glory in quitting. leave their glory in quitting. But when you hear that, it's a shocking story, especially when you consider the story of the British Olympic runner, Derek Redmond. I've told you about him before. He was running in the 92 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and he was actually favored to win the gold. And in running in the last lap, he ripped his hamstring. Went down in awful pain. He got back up and hobbled with the assistance of his father to a distance last. He was favored for the gold, and although receiving no medal, I've not found one story about him that isn't glorious. You say, why? Because he got back up and he finished. It wasn't that he won the race. It wasn't that he won a medal. It was that through pain and the difficulty and the problem, he got back up and he limped his way around and he finished. I needed to tell you that story. Because if you listen to her story, Lona's story, there's many a Christian that dropped off the mat for Jesus Christ a long time ago. And you may be like I was at 20 when I came back to the Lord and I thought, Lord, I spent 14 years of just doing nothing for you at all. 14 years of wood, hay, and stubble. And I can't retrieve that. When you decide to stop, you may never get back in to the position in the race where you're at. All I can do, though, is I can give him today. And so around 20, 21 years old, I decided I was going to do my best with the grace of God to start giving him that day. And I tried, and sometimes I failed, and sometimes I was victorious. But after giving him that day, and giving him the day after that, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next month, and the next year, I'm looking back now to some 42 years ago. Can I please tell you something? You may have quit. I don't know what you quit. You're here in church. What a blessing to that. But just because you're in church doesn't mean you're serving God. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're walking with Him. And the story of Redmond is a story that says, you know what, I may not be able to win, but I can finish. You look up 92 Barcelona, Spain. Look up the Olympics. And there's a man that finished last that shows up in the same search as those that got the gold, silver, and brass. You say, why? He didn't get his glory by winning. He got his glory by enduring. He got his glory by finishing. And he could have, and everybody would have understood. He went down, he held the leg, you could see. And by the way, I'm missing some of my hamstring muscle, ripped it out here years ago. And my little bit that I could not, I'm not out here, I ripped it when we played football down, yeah, I was down in the football game. We had a football team here for 1 year, and it was fun, and I enjoyed it, and I ripped a hamstring. And I couldn't walk, and he ripped his. And you could see the excruciating pain, and not one person would have blamed him for not continuing. His dad came out of the stands. The video, if you see the video, it's unbelievably moving. You don't know it's his dad, but he comes out. Security tries to stop him. His dad has nothing to do with the security. Makes his way out, helps, gets his arms under his son. And he said this. He said, son, you don't have to do this. And Derek said, yes, I do. You know what he does today? You know what Derek does today? He's a motivational speaker on the speaking circuit. No, he's sought after. Why? I don't know if the gold winner is around talking to people on the motivational speaker circuit. I doubt it. But the man that came in last, he didn't leave his glory on the track. He didn't leave his glory on the track. Christian, can I just encourage you? Listen, I know it's difficult. I know it may hurt. I know you feel like you don't have a chance to win. You may not win. You may not be first place. I get that. Would you please take a lesson? Don't decide to walk off. Keep your eyes focused on the race. And no matter where you're at, I may not win it, but I can finish. Because if I understand my Bible right, and I understand humanity, there is a glory in at least saying, I crossed the line. And once again, the question he asked Israel, where will you leave your glory? Can I tell you some place that somebody else will leave their glory? You'll leave your glory in the dishonor of sin. Yeah. When I leave the path of righteousness, I risk losing my glory. I've already told you, David did. There's multitudes of people we know today. They used to stand behind the pulpit. They used to preach. And now it's just stained. And it's stained with one place and one moment of time where they decided, I'll leave my glory right here. Yeah. We should be a glory to the Lord, should we not? Someday we're going to be. According to 1 Thessalonians, he said he's going to come when he receives glory in the saints. He's going to be glorified in me. So how is that? It's real simple. I'm back to the cribs now. I'm not done with them. Back to the cribs. Would you guys like to see them? Bring them up. Would you? No, I didn't. It came from a tree. There were two ash trees in my front yard, and the boar got into it, and I knew it was, and so I had a guy cut it down and get in 6 and 8 foot sections, leave it there, and I rolled them over, and I had a guy come in years ago, and he put it on this portable log mill, and he began to cut boards, and he cut the boards, and I've got tons of ash. Then I took this board out, and I ran it through a planer and smoothed it on one side, and I trued up the other side, and I smoothed on the other side, and I got it down. And, you know, it was funny when I was doing it. It didn't take a lot to go, wow, look what I did, right? My wife will tell you that. And I had the first board, and I ran it through the planer, and I ran it through the planer. I got it down to 3/4 inch board. It was about 12 inches wide, something like that. It wasn't real long, only about that long, you know. And I said, matter of fact, I don't think I got it done. I think I planed one side. Sonia, come here. She came back and said, look at that. I didn't do anything. The planer did it, right? And I took those boards and I cut it into pieces and I planed them down some to make the spindles on the side. And I made some for the ends and I made the feet and I drilled through. And I took a tree and I made a piece of furniture out of it. Dear Christian, there's a God in heaven saved you. And someday, he's going to look and say, you see that? That's what they used to be. And all of heaven's going to say, Lord God, you made that out of that? And he's going to go, yes, I did. Can I tell you something, though? It would be nice in this world before the Lord catches us away, where people in this world would say, you know what he used to be? You know what she used to be? We are to be a glory to our God. I thank God I'm not what I used to be. God help me. God help me not to sacrifice my glory on the temporal altar of sin. Seems to be always be that. We just swap out. We can't seem to see the value in the eternal beyond the pleasure in the temporary. Christian, you were called to run a race for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll either leave the glory of that race in the form of a crown at the feet of Jesus Christ, or you'll leave it where you quit, where you stall, or where you sin. And I understand, we all sin. I get that. We all sin. But would you not agree there's sometimes, I'm not going to ask for hands, but I say, how many people here have sinned? You're all going to raise your hand if you're honest. That's a place where the pastor say, amen. Yes. And so I'm glad I don't have a hard taskmaster for a father in heaven. He's long-suffering and gracious to me. But we also know there's those things that end up staining us for the rest of our lives. And where will you leave your glory? I want to show you one more thing, though, and we're just going to go. Luke 12. Would you go over to Luke chapter 12? And so, preacher, I'm afraid I left my glory many years ago. Then get up and start the race again. The glory that you're going to leave this world with is going to be where you're at now and not where you've been. You may have a hard time getting it past it here, but I got to tell you, God is really, really a great God in being able to take that which is without glory and turning it into something that's glorious. I used to be this, but God did this for me. In Luke chapter 12, would you look with me in verse 20? But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You know the story. You know the man that had a bumper crop and he didn't know what to do with it, so he's going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns so he could store his fruit and his good and so on like that. He said, I'll just take ease and eat, drink, and be merry. I'll retire. I'm certainly not against retirement, but you better retire to something. Idle time's not good for anybody. He said, "You fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Can I ask you a question? This guy that died that night, where was his glory? Could I say that his glory was in his stuff? Would that be fair? That's what he gloried in? Do we have a problem with that today in America? The sum value of an individual is what I own and where I live and what I drive, my bank account, my status in life, my career, all that. I'm somebody because he gloried in these things. Could I say this? These things was nothing more than this life. His glory rose no higher than this life. Is that true? Can I tell you this? He said this to Israel. He said, "Where will you leave your glory?" I have an answer. You're going to leave it here. Everybody's going to leave their glory. The only thing that's going to survive glory-wise is what Jesus Christ did with you and in you and what you did with him and taking it there. Everything else here, as a matter of fact, Paul says it very appropriately in 1 Timothy. He said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." We all leave this world like we came in. We came in with nothing, and we're going to leave it with nothing. Nothing except that which you did for Jesus Christ, and that what you allowed him to do in you. That's it. "I'm now ready to be offered," Paul said. "The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Why? "Because I have made the Lord my glory." But Paul, you're going to lose your life. Yeah, I know, but I'm not leaving that. My glory, I'm not leaving it here. The rich man left it here because his glory rose no higher than this world. Paul's glory rose higher than that. Paul's glory was in the Lord. Paul's the one that said to Corinth, "If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord." In Galatians, he said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus." He said, "I asked God three times." He said, "Take this thorn in the flesh away." He said, "No, my grace is sufficient." He said, "So I glory in tribulation. I glory in mine infirmities." Oh, Paul gloried, but not in the things that we typically glory about. He gloried in what God was doing in him and what God was doing with him. Paul, how many churches did you start on your first missionary journey? None. Not none. No, I've read the book. I know. You start. You and Barnabas. No, neither of us started any. But the Lord started a few of them through us and with us. Did you ever notice when he came back from the first missionary journey? They came back and he told Barnabas, they stayed there with the disciples at Antioch for a while. And he said, "Let's go back." And they went back and they said they stayed there a long while with the disciples and shared or rehearsed with them, the disciples, the church, rehearsed with them what God had done with them. Check your Bible out. We talk a lot about what God does for us. We talk a lot about what we do for God. They had neither of those things in their conversation. All they could say is, "Can we tell you what God did?" How many see that God was his glory? The Lord was his glory. And the question, I guess, today then is this. What do you glory in? It's a fair question. It's an honest question, one that needs to be answered honestly. What do you really glory in? And then the question is, where are you going to leave your glory? Just about done. Appreciate you listening so well. Would you take your Bibles to one other place? Hebrews 11. It illustrates what I'm talking about, and then we'll be done this morning. Where will you leave your glory? What do you glory in? He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's what Paul said. Hebrews 11. I wish you'd pick up with me in verse 32, just a few verses here. Verse 32. And the writer says, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of a sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others, look up here, no names here, no names, just others. They may have been the Waldenses that were destroyed in northern Italy and southern France by the hand of the Pope and his armies, brutally killed. It might be the preachers of the Dark Ages that were tied to a stake, and the stakes were lit, and as they burned and sang praises to God as they died. I don't know. But we get no names here. It just says, and others. Others were what? They were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and of imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. Did you notice up there in verse 60 or 36? They had a trial of cruel mockings. No glory here. No glory here. They were laughed at, they were mocked, they were ridiculed. No one saying, no applause here, these others. Where is their glory? Would you drop down, if you would, to verse 37? They were stoned and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Watch this phrase. Of whom the world was not worthy. You should underline that. You know what that is? The world mocks you, but God says, I'm giving you glory right now. The world didn't deserve you. The world wasn't worthy of you. Oh, you take your scourgings, your mockings. I know there's no glory down there, but someday you're going to be before me. And when you're before me, I'll give you the glory. Remember over there in the Gospels? He said, I gave you a pound. What'd you do with it? He said, Lord, he said, I took your pound. I turned it into 10. And the Lord of eternity, the God of eternity, says, well done. Well done. Do you grasp the gravity of those words coming from the one it's coming from, the God of eternity? Well done. And you stand there at attention as the commander-in-chief says, and I hope and long for this. He says, Joel Greer, well done. While all the host of heaven sit, they stand and they see you receiving your reward at the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I step aside after receiving my glory, that it wasn't glory down here, it was the glory of enduring scourgings and mockings and so on. God said, no, the world wasn't worthy of you. And all of a sudden says, Chris Scott, come up. And Chris Scott stands up and he stands at attention. Lord, what'd you do? Or the Lord says, what'd you do? He said, I took your pound and I made it 15. He says, well done. And all the host of heaven. You see, there's an issue to the message this morning. What do you glory in? What do you glory? The Pharisees, they want to be seen when they pray. Behold, they've received their reward. They want to be seen when they throw the money in to know that I gave a lot and I gave. Behold, they've received their reward. That's what the Lord said. That widow, she threw that little mite in and walked away. And although we know what the Lord said, we don't know what the rest said. I doubt there was much glory in it, don't you? I doubt anybody standing around said, "Wow, look at that." No. But as she walked away, up over the balcony of heaven, God looked down and said, "You see that? She gave more than them all." And one day she's going to stand and say, he's not going to say, "You gave a mite." You know what he's going to say? Let's hear it for this little lady. She gave all. Where will you leave your glory? Christian, if you're here and you're a little weary, a little tired, you feel if you're not getting any traction, welcome to the club. Feel like that you haven't done what you should have, welcome to the club. But oh my goodness, there is going to be some glory. You have some. You're in the race. God's done something with you. Yes? Then no matter how small it may be, do not leave it here. Do not just give up and throw in the towel. And you say, "Preacher, I already have." Then like Mr. Redmond, would you get back up and say, "You know what? I may not be able to win. I'm far out of the place I was at. But I can get up. And I can finish." You have no idea. You have no idea. Go check it out. Derek Redmond. Do a search. He's all over the place. But he lost. No. He won. He might not have won the race, but he won glory. Where are you going to leave your glory? Young people, would you determine that you're not going to leave your glory somewhere where God wouldn't want your glory left? Would you determine that? God, help me not to sacrifice the glory that I have in you, the glory of what you've done in me. Help me not to sacrifice that on the altar of my friends. I don't want to leave it here. Well, there was a guy too. And I'm done. Yeah, he had a pound. Same as the other guys. He walks up and says, "Now, what have you done with your pound?" He said, "Lord, I knew you were hard and you demanded to receive where you hadn't sown. And I wrapped it in a napkin." You know the story, right? You know where he left his glory? He left it in a napkin. And how many would say, it's about time as a child of God that I unwrap mine. I don't want to leave my glory here, and I don't want to leave my glory in the napkin of do nothing. Let's bow our heads, please.